Other conference session actions. The session had been called on short notice, and the agenda consisted largely of the propositions and suggestions made by James White. After the election of officers and the General Conference Committee, attention was given to the large issues. George I. Butler was re-elected president, with Sidney Brownsberger to serve with him as secretary and E.B. Gaskell as treasurer. The General Conference Committee would be G.I. Butler, S., and Haskell, and Harmon Lindsay. One action called for the Executive Committee to take steps for the speedy publication of tracts and periodicals in other languages. Believers were to be reminded of the importance of dress and health reforms. Other actions called for consolidating the interests of the tract and missionary societies of the state conferences into a general organization and for the general conference to prepare or have prepared a work giving our reasons for believing the testimonies of Sister White to be the teachings of the Holy Spirit. While high on the list of matters calling for urgent consideration were the developing work on the Pacific coast and the sending of a missionary to Europe, there is no record of specific actions relating to either of these. It was different with the proposed school. The conference committee, having been entrusted with the matter of raising funds for a denominational school, reported through the chairman. $52,000 had been pledged. On motion, the president was authorized to appoint a committee of four to act with the executive committee of the conference, in the formation of an educational society preparatory to the establishment of a denominational school. The following persons were appointed: James White, Ira Abbey, J. N. Andrews, and Uriah Smith. Ibid. The meetings of the session were held from Friday morning, November 14, to Thursday noon, November 20, with the mornings given to business and the afternoon and evenings to spiritual interests. When the conference was over, Butler declared, "I regard it as one of the most important meetings ever held among SD Adventists." He added, "The importance of any meeting does not necessarily arise from the numbers of those present or the amount of discussion and speech-making connected with it, but, rather, upon the weighty matters decided upon, and the spirit of union and love prevailing among those in attendance." Ibid. Two columns of the Review and Herald, a half page, were devoted to minutes of the conference. Double that space on another page was given to the outpouring of hearts of church leaders testifying to the unity and good relationships among workers. J. N. Andrews commented in his report, "The hearts of the servants of God are more closely united in the bonds of Christian love, and probably there had never been a time when such perfect unanimity of feeling and of judgment has existed as at the present time." Ibid. George I. Butler, writing of the work of the Spirit of God in leading to unity, declared, "Never were there such clear evidences that God's Spirit was cementing hearts which have been more or less divided. Never were the principles so plainly seen before, upon which true union must be founded. These things cause our hearts to rejoice. And we have no hesitation in saying they will cause a thrill of joy in the hearts of the true friends of the cause from Maine to California." Ibid. Under the title Blessings Acknowledged, J. H. Wagoner declared, "I wish to add my cheerful testimony to that of others in regard to the blessed and heart-cheering meetings which have been held in Battle Creek. From the first, it was evident that the Lord had been preparing His people to take a more decided stand for union of heart and action in this sacred work." Ibid. Uriah Smith's testimony was a veiled confession, significant and reassuring. He headed it, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." He referred to Paul's admonitions in and calling for all to speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, and admonishing believers to be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Bringing the matter home, he said, "But that true blending of spirit and union of heart, contemplated in the texts above referred to, is what has been wanting. This may not be the time or place to enter into particulars as to the causes, manner, or extent of the failures that have been made. Suffice it to say that these are in a measure, at least, seen and felt. And there is seen also the necessity of immediately taking hold to remedy the evil, and there is no lack of determination to do it. And the progress that has been made in this direction is one of the encouraging features of our recent meetings. The work is being done, on the basis of new principles, or principles newly seen, which will enable all to act understandingly, and which, therefore, gives cheering promise that it will be real and permanent. Ibid. Butler was overjoyed as he looked back at the session, and wrote, "Things which have long caused great perplexity and discouragement seem now to be passing away. There seems to be a clearer understanding of the causes of past difficulty than ever before, and a determination to avoid them for the future." He added, "The visit of Brother and Sister White among us has been productive of great good to the cause. Never was a visit more opportune than this. Indeed, it seemed to be a special providence of God. In conclusion, I wish to express the profound gratitude of my heart for the goodness of God to us, and for the clear evidence which has been given that the guiding hand is leading in this work. We have no cause for discouragement while this is seen in our midst. The work is onward. Let us close up the ranks, take our position on the Lord's side, and move on in our work till victory crowns our efforts." Ibid.